You're listening to the Uniquely Beautiful Stories podcast, and I'm your host, Heather McAneer. Thank you so much for tuning in. I truly believe every one of us has a uniquely beautiful story written day by day as we live our lives. My hope and prayer is that you will be encouraged by the stories and content on this show, and you will go out and fully live your own uniquely beautiful story. Our podcast is brought to you by Cedar Creek Dental Associates. If you live near Oklahoma City and you're looking for exceptional dental care, be sure to check out their website at okcsmile.com. I promise you'll find an amazing staff, a gorgeous office, and most importantly, excellent dental care to keep you smiling for years to come. Our background music is brought to you by the talented and beautiful Claire Westbrook. Thank you, Claire, for sharing your music. And please, listeners, be sure to check out all her other work at SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Music. Also, if this podcast has been an encouragement to you, it would mean the world to us if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share an episode with a friend so that others will be encouraged by these uniquely beautiful stories. Hope you enjoy the show. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Uniquely Beautiful Stories podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and I'm so excited to introduce you to one of my good friends this morning. Katie Mahoney is a dear friend of mine from church. We've known each other for several years, and I've just watched her life unfold during her current season. But before I met her, before she was a mom and all the things you're going to hear about today, she played professional basketball for 4 years, and she coached basketball for 4 years. She's been married to her sweet husband, Ryan, for 8 years, and she's got two adorable boys. Keon is 6 years old, and Zeke is 2 years old. And I have to say, those are two of my favorite little guys. I love watching them grow up. They come over and they swim at our house, and they've been over for dinner, and we just love their family. And I have to say, Katie, you are the only professional basketball player that I know personally in my life. So that's pretty cool. So welcome, Katie. I'm so glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here and to tell my story.
Yay. Well, as you know, we've known each other for several years, and just I've kind of watched your story and your son Keon's story unfold, but from the sidelines. And I have to say, Keon is one of my favorite little guys ever. He has stolen my heart, and I think we have a pretty special little friendship. But I would love for our listeners to just hear your whole story. Really, I mean, your life is about way more than just this little season that we're going to talk about today. But today, I think especially it would be encouraging for our listeners to hear your story of motherhood and how your life was changed when you had Keon 6 years ago. And you can give us a little bit of background as far as what were you doing at that moment, and maybe what did you think motherhood was going to look like? And then just start with his birth, and we'll just go from there and let your story unfold.
Okay. So when I had Keon, I was coaching junior college basketball in Iola, Kansas at Allen Community College. And Ryan was also a coach there. We had been married a year and a half, I think, whenever we found out we were pregnant. And I was never the person who, you know, one of the girls that sat around and thought, oh, I can't wait to be a mom. This is my lifelong goal. I knew I wanted to have a family, but I never put that much time into thinking about having kids and even getting married, because I was so busy with the basketball thing and so like ambitious in that regard. But so when the time came, I mean, you have in your mind what you think being a mom is going to be like and kind of what that will all look like. And God has a funny way of showing us otherwise or proving otherwise. So we're in the middle of our season. We have a game the night before, and we like get home on the bus at midnight. My tailbone is killing me. And I ended up having Keon the next morning, and he came 9 weeks early.
Oh my goodness.
So not expecting that. I was expecting like after Christmas in the second semester, not in November. And so that came a really big surprise. But so I had Keon, and then he was transferred to the NICU in Kansas City. We were in a smaller town at that time. So Ryan and I mean, it was like 3 hours after I had him.
Oh, wow.
They actually released me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And said, you know, if you're good, you're going to a hospital. So if anything feels weird, make sure to tell somebody. And I'm okay. So we got in the car and we drove to Kansas City.
How far was that from where you were?
It was about an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness. I cannot imagine sitting in the car 3 hours after birth and all the emotions and the discomfort.
I think I felt like I was in a little bit of shock.
Yes.
Just and not really understanding what was going on. Because we got to see him briefly before they took him. Mm. They took him in an ambulance, but he was not like... It was not like life threatening or anything, so they took him and we followed and went and got to go see him. To our surprise, we were there for 5 weeks. So they actually, which is crazy, they actually let us stay in an empty hospital room.
Oh my goodness.
And we, for $25 a night, and we just moved in basically to the hospital. So we could go back and forth, and we were able to be with him the whole time.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. I mean, that's a God thing.
It is. We didn't have to drive back and forth or get a hotel. And it was in God's timing. It was just about to be Thanksgiving break for the students. And then my assistant coach, she took over. I mean, I still called back and forth, but she basically took over and for the next few weeks, and then it was Christmas break. So the timing of everything worked out really well. We actually went to a few games while we were in the NICU. Like we left and I went and sort of coached during that time. But yeah, so 5 weeks in the NICU, and then the day before we went home, they did a brain MRI, and that's something that they do on every baby that leaves their NICU, just to make sure everything is good. And then, you know, you have those moments in life where, like, you remember every detail. Exactly. Well, the nurse or the doctor walked in and said, we've found, and I remember the words exactly, like, we found extensive damage on Keon's brain. And it was like everything just went super slow motion. Like, I can remember where we were sitting, where everyone was in the room. Like, nothing prepares you to hear that kind of news when you think everything's going well and we're going home tomorrow. Like, this is so exciting. And so obviously they talked to us for a while. I have no idea what they told us. But then Ryan and I had some time to ourselves, and, you know, we obviously cried and prayed, and we had to, you know, call our family and friends and let people know. But kind of from that time forward, you know, life was different for us. So we go home, and luckily we get home right before Christmas. So it's still kind of Christmas break time for the athletes. And so we're kind of just trying to figure life out and what it's going to look like. And nobody actually has any answers for us, besides just kind of a wait and see approach.
Like doing more tests on him, or just seeing how things just develop?
Just seeing how he develops, because the brain is a very, you know, intricate, crazy thing. And there's no way to tell from the MRI, like, what part of him will be affected, to what degree, all those things.
So the whole time he'd been in NICU, this was totally separate. Like, he was basically in the NICU because he was early. So they were working on just, like, his breathing and eating and just the regular things that babies in the NICU are working on.
Yes.
Right?
So he was a feeder grower. So he was just working on being able to eat on his own and making sure that he was growing in the right way. But there was no other alarms or things.
So literally you guys are just thinking every day, like, the markers are he's eating, he's growing, or, you know, and then you get this, like, gut punch the day before you leave. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
So you get back and you're starting to do research, or at this point, are you guys in like research mode, or what do we do mode, or are you just kind of waiting, like, taking it appointment by appointment?
We can research a little, but all we knew is that he had PVL, which is called periventricular leukomalacia. And they don't know exactly what it will cause. CP is likely. Cerebral palsy is likely, and there's other things that are also likely, but no for sure. And so we read a little bit about it, but there's not a ton of information out there for what we knew. So We just started with some, like, I don't remember what it's called in Kansas, but it's Sooner Start in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. where they come to your house and they do some therapy and appointments and things like that. So mm-hmm. we start that right away and are just kind of basically watching out for developmental delays or signs.
Mm-hmm.
And as a newborn, most of them act pretty much the same. So he's sleeping a lot and all those things. And so, yeah, just kind of as time goes on and, you know, as a baby gets closer to the 1 year mark, mm-hmm. you can obviously, things start standing out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, so we had Keon in November. In July, Ryan got a job at Southern Nazarene in Oklahoma City. So we, which we're excited about because mm-hmm. that's where I went to school and played basketball there. And we knew, we still know a lot of people there. My family is closer. So we decide to move. And I had been feeling the thought that I really want to stay home with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just with trying to figure out what his life is going to look like. I wanted to be able to stay at home. And this provided that mm-hmm. opportunity for me to actually stay home. So another God thing and just timing for that to happen. So we moved to Oklahoma City. And then, you know, he got going with his season. I'm trying to figure out how to be a stay-at-home mom because being a coach, you're pretty much busy all the time, you know, from when you wake up till, you know, 9 or 10 at night, you can be going.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just at home and I don't really know what to do. And so that was a big transition, you know, just for me. Personally, regardless of anything going on with Keon.
Mm-hmm.
But then that also gave me time to research a little bit and start figuring out, you know, how things are going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we start therapy and those kind of things. Once he gets a little bit older, when he gets closer to two. But in the meantime, probably around January, we decided to try out Council Road. We started going there, check out their home group. That has probably been the biggest blessing, just God showing us so much grace through all of our process is mm-hmm. getting involved with community. We didn't know exactly how much we needed it until we were in it. And being isolated in a scary situation is really not a good place to be
mm-hmm.
for anybody. So that has been huge for us, is just getting involved and plugged into the church. I think when you are not in community and you're isolated a bit and you have things going on, like a kid with a disability, then it becomes a lot bigger deal because you're so focused on it and so focused on yourself. And what's the struggles you're going through and the struggles you're having. But once you enter into that community and you see, one, the support that they give you and that they hear you and that they're, you know, with you. But then also, everybody is struggling with something.
Mm.
And so then to start looking how to help other people and to be in their lives, it takes the focus off of you and just helps... It just helps perspective change so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been really big for us. I mean, we have a group that parents that are going through hard adoptions, who are fostering, who are having illness, who have parents who have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things that people are going through that it's just, man, without community and without Jesus, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get through those things.
That's such a great perspective, though, because I think, like you said, when we just look down in front of us and we just look at our life, you know, we get this tunnel vision and it's the woe is me. Everyone else is doing this and this, or everyone else's children are doing this and this. But like you said, when you really open up your heart and your life and you're vulnerable, you let people into your story, and then, you know, they let you into their story. Like you said, you realize everyone's fighting something. It just looks different. It may be a marriage issue or another type of parenting issue or a different illness or a financial struggle, or like we're all struggling with something. And so I think that just gives such good perspective to say, maybe no one else's life looks like ours, probably not, but nobody's life is perfect, and everybody has something that they're having to have faith about, or they're having to trust God through, or they're having to get help from. And so then you have that community, like you said, you can pour into them and help them, and then you have this natural group of people around your family too when you need that support. So I think that's a huge, just a huge encouragement for anyone, no matter what we're going through.
Yeah, for sure. There, I mean, God has taught me so many things through Keon, and I struggle with that, the fact that, like, why does Keon have to have cerebral palsy for me to learn all these lessons?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's because he has cerebral palsy that God's teaching me things, but he's taught me so many things. So I went from being, like, super independent, you know, successful. I was going all around the world by myself without an iPhone, you know, like, just traveling to different countries on my own.
Yeah.
Just because I could do it, and because I knew I could do it, and I wasn't scared of anything, and I didn't need anybody, so I thought. And then you bring in, you know, a kid, and then they have special needs, and then all of a sudden you need help from lots of people. And just going from that super independent to, like, needy is how I felt. And God has worked in me through that, and allowing people in to help and be an encouragement, and just how much more fulfilling life is in that way.
Yeah.
At the beginning, there's a few instances where we would go to the park all the time because I was at home and we were doing nothing.
Stir crazy.
Yes. And it would hurt so much because I would go and I would see the other kids like playing and the parents hanging out together on the side. And I'm like, I will never get to go to the park with Keon and hang out with other adults. Like, I'm climbing through all of the tunnels and the stairs trying to help him go down the slide or, you know, I have to be, like, hands-on every time we go somewhere. So I got to the point where finally I'm like, we can't go to the park for a while, right? And then I remember distinctly, like, we went to a football game, and there was another little girl who was the exact same age as Keon, like 2 days difference. And it was a little bit before he was two, and she was running around and having fun. And we got in the car and left and just started crying. And Ryan's like, what's wrong? <going on? laughs> And I'm like, it's just not fair. And I think finally I got to a point where, and somebody recommended a book to me called A Different Dream for My Child. And so I finally got to a point where I let myself actually grieve the loss of this dream I had of what Keon's life would look like, instead of being, like, disappointed and bitter and all of the things that could easily come from it. And just kind of letting go of all of the preconceived, like, this is what it's going to look like. And now we're trying to figure out, how can we make it the best for him? Because this really is not about us and how it inconveniences our life or makes us struggle. Like, that seems real, real arrogant of us to think, like, he's the one that's going to have to ultimately come to grips with the fact that he has cerebral palsy and he did not ask for it and he has no choice. And so us, I think, shifting our focus of, like, what we're losing into, like, how can we help him to reach his full potential and to live a life that will glorify God?
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's the journey that we're on right now.
I feel like that's even something we were just talking the other day. I feel like that's something recent that God's been showing you and teaching you, and you've done, like, the hyperbaric chamber with him and literally physically getting in the treatment with him, you know, for an hour. And even through that, like, I feel like you just recently told me how God was changing your heart, even when you're thinking, oh, I'm doing this for my son, this is good for him. But yet God's working in you at the exact same time. What were some of the things that he's been showing you through that?
Yeah. So the funny thing about the hyperbaric oxygen therapy is we go into this little chamber and we're just in there for an hour and 20 minutes. And so he gets to watch cartoons. So he loves it. He's loving life. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? So I've been reading books because I can't do anything else. And so a couple of the books that I've read have really spoken to me. And one of them was about a guy who had muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. And his friends carried him in a backpack around Europe, like three different countries, I think. And they went hiking and they climbed, you know, really tall things and took him all over and just completely cared for him, fed, you know, helped him with his food. They bathed him. They helped him with the bathroom, mm-hmm. like all these things. And then the perspective, he was a Christian, he was a believer, and mm-hmm. so are his friends. And so the sacrifice and love they showed to each other, mm-hmm. And then just his perspective on life, like he could feel at times when he would start feeling a certain way about his body or his life, or he wished it was different. And then he would just be able to stop himself and pray and ask God to please, like, take those thoughts out of my head. Let me enjoy the fact that these guys are sacrificing and loving me like Christ. Mm. And it's not about my physical ability. Mm. Like, I'm glorifying God through this process. And I'm like, man, how do I get Keon mm-hmm. to somehow have that mindset about mm-hmm. his disability? Because I read lots of things on Facebook, cerebral palsy groups, and there's so much bitterness and mm. resentment about how they were raised and how they felt like they were a project mm. and how they felt like they were just not good enough, so their parents were constantly trying to make them better. And they're really bitter about it, and it's really sad. Mm. And my guess is that they are not Christians. Mm. I don't know that for sure, but that would be my guess. And so how do you go from, I don't want Keon to get to a point where he's bitter about his disability and he resents his childhood because he thought he was looked at as a project and not good enough, to where he can know that his life is to glorify God and that's his purpose. It's mm-hmm. not anything to do with physical ability. Mm-hmm. And so that's made us definitely... We've had lots of conversations lately. And so we've really taken a step back about, like, what are we doing? What's the purpose? What's the goal as far as therapy and things go? And, like, we've decided for this summer, like, we're going to not do any therapy. And because through the pandemic, we've actually learned a lot of things. Like, we weren't able to go to therapy for a while. And you know what? We didn't see a huge drop off in any of his ability, mm-hmm. right? Because we're both coaches and we're both smart people.
Yeah.
And we've been to enough therapy. Like, we know what we need to do, at least at this moment. Mm-hmm. And we've had people guiding us along the way of, like, what things you need to work on and what you need to do. And, like, and we didn't see a big drop off from that. So mm-hmm. I think we all have fatigue from the therapy and the appointments and all of the things. So we're going to be as active as we can as a family. The book that I read about them carrying, his name's Kevin, mm-hmm. around Europe, they actually started a nonprofit and they make these backpacks for people. Wow. And we actually bought one. Mm. And we're going to make it a goal to go hiking with Keon on our back. Like, last summer, I think I cried because everyone was, like, going out and hiking and doing all these things because of the pandemic. And I'm like, we're never going to be able to go hiking. For whatever reason, that made me really sad.
Yeah.
But we're going to go hiking this summer and Ryan's going to carry him on his back. I might try a few minutes, but we're going to go and we're going to, you know, give him that experience of going and doing something different. Mm. We're going to go swimming a lot this summer. We got him a thing called a race runner where he can go a little faster and he can basically run in it just to give him a different feeling. He's got a trike. And so we're going to do things and we're going to stay active, but we're not going to do therapy. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably ask him, like, do you want to do any therapy? And he'll be like, no, I don't. We're like, okay, well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
And give him some of that power of making that decision.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we want him to be independent, as independent as possible. I mean, if you would have told me when I had him that, hey, when he's six, you're going to be still bathing him, helping him go to the bathroom, helping him get dressed, helping him brush his teeth, helping him eat, I would have probably not handled it well, but God in his grace you know, only reveals certain things to you at a certain clip that you, you know, mm-hmm. that you can handle. And yeah. so, you know, you learn information as you go and mm-hmm. and strengthens you along the way. So we're at a place now where it's just part of our normal, you know, normal life. But independence is always the goal, but knowing that there's some things he may never be independent at. And that's yeah. okay. We've come to grips with a lot of things that, like, maybe he, there's a really good chance that he'll never walk independently. That's okay. Yeah. Like, he, there's other ways, and that's not a measure of who he is as a person. So lots of learning, and it didn't come easy or quickly. Mm-hmm. But Keon, this is kind of cool. When we didn't know this, but Keon actually means God is gracious, like the actual meaning of his name. So knowing that now and looking back, you're like, wow, yeah, he is. Mm. So just another way that God shows his care for us.
I remember a story you told me, it might have been, I don't know, it's been a few months, but you were talking about how you were carrying him to the bathroom that one day, and it was just kind of one of your normal things, and your brain wasn't really even, like, totally tuned in. And then he made that comment about playing basketball someday. Do you remember the story I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think that's a really neat story to share.
Yeah, so he just randomly said, like, I'm going to play basketball someday. Or something about, it was something about playing. And I'm like, yeah. But you can. Did you know they have, you know, they have wheelchair basketball, and they have different ways you can do it. And he's kind of like, no, I'm going to play like real basketball. I'm like, okay, but yeah, go for it, man. You never know, right?
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen or how he's going to, you know, continue to change mm-hmm. once he gets older and really understands what's going on. So, mm-hmm. Just keeping those little dreams alive. And,
exactly. I think that says volumes for you. To me, that spoke volumes about you and Ryan and how you guys have championed him all along. And even through, I mean, I've watched your schedule. At some points, it was like 4 or 5 times a week, like appointments, therapies, you know. So it's been this intense schedule that other moms of a 5- and 6-year-old are not having to deal with. And he, of course, knows nothing different than his own life. Right. But, you know, we've talked about how, is this too much? Is his life consumed with therapy? And you guys have struggled and prayed through, like, what's the balance here? But what I see from him even making that comment is that in his mind, he's able. In his mind, mm-hmm. he can do things. And I think that comes directly from you guys just championing him. And like you said, as his life unfolds and as you see what his abilities are, there's no doubt that you will encourage him to just to live a life that glorifies God and to be everything that God's made him to be. But when he made that comment to me that says, like, he doesn't see himself as having any limitations. He sees you guys, Ryan coaching basketball. I love that he wears his little suit and he considers himself the, you know, assistant coach, and he calls him the guys, you know, I'm going to go see the guys. And, you know, he just, this is his life, and you guys have not held him back. And I love that in his mind, because we all know our mind, our brain, our negative or positive thinking has so much impact over what we actually can do, you know? And so at this point, he's not holding himself back. And I think that's a really beautiful picture of you guys and just your support and encouragement of him.
Yeah. I think that's one of the scarier things is to think about, like, when he gets to an age where he realizes that he's different and that things might not be as easy as everybody else, and just kind of how to navigate that. But so far he has not gotten to that point and just feels the same, mm-hmm. which is great. So mm-hmm. we'll continue to push him in that way and to make him feel able and important and mm-hmm. as independent as possible.
Yeah. He's the sweetest, and he's so smart, and he tells the best stories. He has such a great creative brain. I want to take a little bit of a left turn and ask about marriage and parenting. And I've watched you and Ryan work as a team, but how have you seen God use everything you've gone through with Keon in your marriage? How has that helped you? How has Ryan been, you know, a part of all of this? What would you say to maybe someone going through this? How has it impacted your marriage?
Yeah, so another scary thing is that I don't know what the exact statistic is, but it's high. Mm-hmm. The percentage of couples who have a child with special needs get divorced. Mm-hmm. And the number is really high. Like, very alarmingly high. Hmm. So from the get-go, we're like, man, what's that all about? But I think that because we're both involved in athletics, or we're in coaches, the team aspect has always been high for both of us. But I really feel like we behave like a team together through Keon's stuff. Like, Ryan can't do all of the research and be around for all the things because of his job, but I've never felt one time that he hasn't supported one of my crazy ideas, or I want to buy this for him, or I think we should do this intensive therapy instead of regular therapy, or I want to homeschool, or any of my outlandish things. He's been like, if you think that's what's right, then I, you know, I trust you in that, and I'll support you. And then any chance he gets, when he has time off, then he's hands-on with Keon, helping out and in any way that he can. But I wouldn't say that it's super easy, but no marriage is super easy. But it's taken a lot of growth in communication and, you know, frustration and things like that. And just being able to talk about what we want to do and what we want things to look like, and then getting on the same page and moving forward. But also, like, finding time together is really difficult.
Yeah.
Because you basically feel like you need to be around them all the time.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, he's heavy, so he's not easy to lift. So that limits who can watch him for a long period. I mean, for a few hours,
right,
then anyone can come, like, hang out and play. But, like, for an overnight or something like that, like, getting him in and out of bed and the bathroom and eating, you know, his chair and all those things. He's only six, so it's still doable,
right.
But it's not really easy, and it limits some of the opportunities for us to just, like, we're out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know, and we're going to try to change this spring, if we've gone somewhere, you know, like just the two of us without a kid. Now we have pockets of time, like we'll go out to dinner or something like that, but to, like, go overnight and stay away. So that makes it challenging. So we have to be really intentional about the time that we do have together, that we make the most of it. But he's been, I couldn't ask for a better partner and husband through what we've gone through. He's been so encouraging and supporting and sharing the load of all of the things, because he understands, like, he's been home for, especially during the pandemic, I mean, he was home for a lot, and he sees exactly, like, this is what it takes, and that's not easy. So he's been super, super helpful in all the things. So, and Keon loves him. Like, I don't know any kid that loves their dad more than Keon loves Ryan. So
sweet.
It is fun to watch.
Gosh, I think, aside from your specific details, just that constant communication and that seeing yourselves as a team and, you know, supporting one another. And I think any married couple can relate to that, because we all just have a different role that we fulfill. And so, you know, like you're saying, you're at home researching and you're presenting these things to him, and he's like, sure, I trust you in that, you know, and then you're trusting him to make decisions about his job and career and finances, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's always that give and take in a marriage, where you have your own lane and you're doing your thing, but then you also are a team. So you cross over, and communication, you know, we say that'll make it or break it in your marriage. No. And I've seen you guys from the sidelines just really doing a good job of that teamwork, you know, that. And that's a good point that you said, you both have a team mentality coming from a coaching background. You came into marriage with that perspective, and you understand what a team looks like when it's fully functioning well, and what a team looks like when it's falling apart. So you can apply that in your marriage. Well, as we start to wrap up, I would love for you to give any advice to, specifically to a mom who's really anywhere on the spectrum of the journey you've been on. Maybe a mom who's very early diagnosis, all the way to, like, someone who's just doing the day-to-day. But what would be your advice to her about just the grit and just the, you know, the fervor that it takes to walk this road?
I mean, I would say first that you aren't alone in what you're going through. You might feel like you're alone because it's so heavy and so new or so consuming. But there's so many people, it's so many people out there going through something similar. And if not in the exact same way, then something else. And that it won't always feel this heavy or this hard. Like, you'll go through, it's always like a, you know, ups and downs, hills and valleys. Like, it'll be really, really tough and really serious for a while, and then it lightens up, and then it gets heavy again, and then it lightens up. Because thinking about the fact that this is probably going to be a lifelong thing is really heavy. But you can't let, I guess, that, you know, drag you down. You think one of the biggest things is always having the big picture and keeping eternity in mind. Like, my favorite verse is John 16:33, where Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's good. And so that verse, something about it that just gives me peace about our life, and the fact that Jesus never said, like, this is going to be pretty easy for some people, but some people are going to have a hard time. There will be tribulation, no matter who you are and what you're doing, but I have overcome the world. So ultimately, trusting that God has your story and your situation, and that you can trust that. Having faith that that's really what's going to happen. And then also, community is huge. Like, you have to find some community to be involved in. Whether it's other moms that have children with special needs, or if it's just community, anybody who you can vent to, who can support you, who you can support them. Like, you have to be involved in someone else's life. Don't let yourself be isolated. I think that would be my biggest thing, in that what you're doing is enough. That took me a hard time to figure out, because I really like to compare to other people and other families. Like, oh my goodness, look what they're doing. Like, they've got all this figured out, and they're doing this and this and this and this surgery and this therapy and this and this. And I've never even heard of those things. Right? Maybe we should be doing that. And so just knowing that what you are doing is enough, and that God is placing you where you are and putting things in your life that you need and that are specific for your kid. And not everybody is the same. That's more talking to myself.
Oh, that's so good. Gosh, I know so many people are going to be encouraged by that. And I really do appreciate you sharing your story and sharing your boy with us, so that we can be encouraged by everything that God's doing in your life and in Keon's life.
Yeah, I'm always happy to help or talk to anybody. I have not done a great job of maybe sharing my story, but now that we're figuring a few things out, we still have a really long ways to go. But I just know that it's difficult. And I think my compassion and empathy for others has grown a whole bunch since all of this started. So I get it, and it's tough, and want to be there for other people for sure.
That's awesome. What were those couple of books that you mentioned? So that I'll try to put them in the show notes, but if somebody wanted to do some reading, I know you mentioned a couple books that were helpful to you.
Yeah, one of them was We Carry Kevin, and he actually wrote it, so it's by him. And then the other one was A Different Dream for My Child, and there's like a workbook that goes with it, and another one. But it was really good. Like, it's mostly for people who are maybe have their kids in the NICU or in that process, but it also, a lot of it applies even after you're in that process. I'm just kind of changing your thoughts.
I really love that. Honestly, that idea that we all really, I think, have to come to terms with at some point in our life, and it's grieving what we thought, you know, grieving the loss of expectations, whether that's with our kids, ourselves, our marriage, our world, our, you know, whatever. Like, we are all going to have to come to a point where we either grieve and let go of something that didn't go how we thought it was going to, or isn't going how we thought, and we're not seeing the eternal perspective at the moment, or we're going to, that's where bitterness and resentment takes root, you know, and read this Tim Keller the other day, and it has just continued to be in my mind, but he says, "Worry is the fear that God will get it wrong, and bitterness is the belief that he did." And that just hits home, I think, with so many circumstances and so much of what's going on in our world. But I really do see you, you know, just watching your journey, like, I see you letting go of so much more and really being led by the Holy Spirit, like, really researching, but then praying about it and saying, God, is this for us or not? And so I want to just encourage you in that. I think that's huge.
Well, thank you. I'm trying. I do feel different, just a different viewpoint on on what we're doing as a family and what we're doing for Keon. I mean, we still have big things planned. Yeah. He's going to do a stem cell transfer, and we're going to an intensive in New York this summer. So, but that will be such a great time. They are really good, and they are really encouraging and uplifting, and it'll be more of a learning thing for Ryan and I probably than anything for Keon. So we're really excited about that. But besides that, we're going to have fun.
Yes.
This summer. So
that's awesome.
And maybe that will extend into next year. Who knows? So we'll see.
I love it. Well, I know that our community who's listening to your story here, and those of you who know Katie and Ryan personally, and those of you who don't, if you want to just join us praying for them, for him over the summer, if you guys think about him, I do think that this opportunity in New York is going to be awesome for him and for your family. And so, listeners, if you guys think of their family, we would love your prayers just for God to continue to lead Ryan and Katie in wisdom, and then to continue to do with Keon's life what he is going to do, because he has these big plans for Keon's life, and it's the letting go and trusting that his plan is the best, and being in tune with the Spirit, because you are a part of that plan and right. you are a part of the process. But overall, he has this big plan, and you guys are, as you follow him, then he will lead you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as we close up, since this is the Uniquely Beautiful Stories podcast, you know, I always ask my listeners, what is making your life beautiful today? It could be literally this day or just lately. What's been making your life beautiful?
The fact that it's turning to spring and it's nice outside. Love it. We love being outside and gardening and things like that. So I'm really excited to be outside, get some fresh air and some sunshine. And today starts the official day of March Madness, baby.
I knew you had to so bring something back.
Basketball. I can't wait to watch basketball all day for lots of days in a row for like the next month.
That's fun. I love it. Well, it wouldn't be a talk with you without bringing basketball in at the end. So, well, Katie, thank you again for spending this time with me. I know our listeners are going to be so encouraged.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And listeners, we do thank you for joining us on the other side of this podcast, and we hope that you've been encouraged. I hope that you were able to hear the Lord speaking through Katie's story and through Keon's story. And ultimately, we hope that you will find encouragement to go out and fully live your own uniquely beautiful story. Thank you.